Is it Nauvoo?
No, I think it rhymes with NATO, like NAWO.
Nauvoo?
No, that's not sounding right. I know. How about Nauvoo?
Nauvoo, yes, you're right. Nauvoo.
Hello, and welcome to the Nauvoo Podcasts. Join us each fortnight in conversation with inspiring women and men who are contributing greatly to reducing the gender gap in the Australian workplace. We hope you take away powerful can-do actions from each episode that will add to the contribution you can personally make within your sphere of influence. And yep, it's Nauvoo. Hello, and welcome to the new Nauvoo podcast. I'm Louise Ween, and this is episode one. The topic is enabling workplace flexibility. We had the absolute pleasure of speaking to Natalie Goldman, CEO of Flex Careers, about this hot topic for the Nauvoo Network. Before we get to that, though, I just want to say thanks so much for listening. We're new to this podcast game. We're giving it a red hot go, and so it's fabulous to have your support. We aim to bring you conversations each fortnight with inspiring people on topics that are key to changing the gender balance in traditionally male-dominated work environments. We really hope the content will either reaffirm actions that you're already taking or help you think or act differently to get the outcomes that you, your team, your business, or your people need. So, what and who is Nauvoo? Well, it's a mouthful. It's the National Association of Women in Operations, Nauvoo. It's a movement, a network, a resource hub, a community, and it currently involves more than 56 like-minded organisations in operations and over 6,500 people across Australia. Every year, around 200 people volunteer their time for Nauvoo because they passionately believe in our vision, a world where women and men can be equally valued and represented at every level. If you want more information about what we do at Nauvoo and how to get involved, please go to www.nauvoo.org.au. Now to our podcast topic for today, workplace flexibility. We know this is a hot topic for the Nauvoo network as individuals in our network look to blend work and life. And that could be parenting, studying, caring for others, volunteering, just looking after ourselves and getting on with our hobbies, as well as really showing up at work with the absolute best that we can give to our relevant organisations. We know it's also important to our member organisations who are looking to balance workplace productivity and outcomes with talent attraction, engagement, and really having a workplace where everybody wants to come and give their very best every day. Some of us are already working flexibly or implementing an informal flexible work environment without actually even putting a label on it. Some of us are still confused as to what flexible working really means, and some of us are a bit fearful about going there in case all hell breaks loose. And change is certainly never easy, so it's always good to open up these conversations and learn from people who have tread this path before, have seen it work, and have had great success. And we have just the person to talk to on this topic. Natalie Goldman has a passion for economically empowering women. And with over 20 years experience as a business leader throughout the APAC region, she has great experience in HR, learning and development, and organisational development. She is the CEO of Flex Careers. Flex Careers is a disruptive careers platform that engineers game-changing technology to connect talented individuals with progressive employers who offer flexible work. They are changing the way careers work. They're not just filling jobs. Flex Careers is actually helping to create workplaces of the future. Natalie also volunteers as a living fearlessly leader at Global Sisters and sits on the board of the Women's Indigenous Network. So let's get to it. This is a great conversation, and we're so grateful to Natalie for giving her time and sharing her expertise on what certainly is a hot topic for Nauvoo. If you like what you hear, which I'm sure you will, you can find out more about the work Flex Careers does at www.flexcareers.com. That's www.flexcareers.com. Enjoy the conversation.
Thank you very much for having me. Very excited to be here.
Well, it's very exciting because it's our first podcast in our new series. So there you go.
Excellent.
Now, Natalie, we're quite familiar with flexible work in the NAWO team because we all work very flexibly. We all have home offices. We're on technology pretty much every day and join together kind of once a fortnight in a collaborative workspace for that face-to-face time. I know that you're very much the same. Can you tell us, how did you get into this? Why are you so passionate about flexible work?
Yeah, sure. So I became the CEO of Flex Careers about 2.5 years ago. The business started probably just under a year before that by two co-founders, Marco Navarro and John McInnes. They brought me on board because of my prior work. I was running my own business as well as having had over 20 years experience in the HR, L&D, OD space myself. And so I'm very, very passionate around gender equality, shifting the way that we work, and could see the dichotomy between the two very clearly. And so flexible work has been something that I've actually been very interested in for over 10 years, partly because I have children who are now teenagers. So working flexibly and being a mum is, for me personally, part of where it came from for a personal experience. But what I could also see were a lot of the challenges of the changing nature of work, with more and more technology making life so much easier for people to work in so many different ways, yet our work structures were so antiquated and almost left decades prior to this technology being invented. So there was this almost a incongruence that I saw. So for me, it was a mixture between a real social justice conversation as well as a technology conversation with my org site hat on, and just sort of saying, why are we doing things just because? Like, we could be more innovative and have a much more healthy way of working.
I love that train of thought because, I mean, the world of work, it's changing so rapidly. I mean, technology is enabling this to happen, and yet we're still seeing quite a bit of resistance, which I'd love to explore with you a bit later on. Sure. But before we start on that, I know with my team we have a good laugh sometimes about some of the crazy experiences of working flexibly. What's your craziest experience with being a flexible worker?
As in location or,
or situation?
Or ways of working? Oh, look, I've got so many. So I've taken my kids on a pupil free day to Luna Park, and I was on a client call on a Ferris wheel. I've worked from the beach. I worked whilst cooking for dinner on a Friday evening on an international teleconference because, of course, Australia is so far ahead time zone wise, and we had people all over the world. And I'd pop myself on mute as I'd fiercely quickly chop onions, and I was crying and stirring and cooking, and then it became my turn. So I quickly turned the stove off and turned everything off, and I turned to the kids and I went, right, I'm online. And then for like 2 minutes, I did my piece. And then went and put myself back on mute, and I had like 10 people coming for dinner, and it was just, you know, bedlam. And that was also pretty funny. But, you know, they scheduled it for 6:30, I think, on a Friday night. And I mean, look, I did it because I needed to do it. But yeah, that's, you know, that's how I managed to blend that. So that would be my more crazy ones to share with you.
I love it.
Quite a few more, but just to give you a highlight.
It certainly enables us to blend our work and our home lives much more readily, which is, you know, certainly what I love about flexible work.
Yeah, and on that, it's like I've moved away very strongly over the last number of years to stop using the terminology of work-life balance, because whoever came up with that idea, there's almost the premise that there's an equality of the amount of time one spends at work and, you know, life. But the reality is we spend a lot more time working than we do in life scenarios. So how can that be a balance? So what I use is a terminology called work-life integration, which is how do we integrate and blur the lines between work and our own lives and what we need, and how that can balance, because life can get messy. And it's not just a children thing. It can be about studying. It can be about training. It can just be, you know, you're going through a bad period in your life. It could be, unfortunately, needing to care for somebody in your family who's unwell. Mm. Or you might have a partner who has an accident and you need to take care of them, or whatever it is. I mean, unfortunately, life is never easy and fit into a box.
No.
And so our work structures need to accommodate for the messiness of life, but still be productive and still be output focused. So work-life integration is something that I think is a much healthier and more realistic way where you're able to look at the responsibilities and desires that you have in your life as well as work and find ways to blend them, integrate them, make them all happen without stretching yourself so thin that you burn out.
I think that's a much better term, Natalie, and I'll definitely weave that into a lot of
everyone can use that one.
Yeah, I love it. And so it leads me to my first question for you, which is how do you at Flex Careers define flexible work? Because I find people jump to very quick assumptions about what it is that we mean when we use that term.
Yeah, sure. So the an actual definition. Flexible working is the ability to negotiate how, where, and when you work. Now, the reason we use that as a definition is that there is not a one-size-fits-all for everyone. So there are some, I guess, paradigms or assumptions of flexible working is firstly just for women, that it's mainly for women with children, it's mainly part-time or work from home, and that's it. The reality is it's so much bigger than that. Flexible working, we've worked and have many clients in a multiple number of different organisations, from resourcing and mining, construction, through to finance and banking, through to professional services, retail, healthcare, aged care, and the list goes on. And so what's relevant to someone who works in a factory or in a shop or in an office is very different to what is going to be able to be achieved in the world of flexible working. But the key to it is that the individual, the employee, and the employee or the manager have the ability to have a conversation around, well, how could we do this differently? You know, whether it be about start and finish times, the actual rosters that they're taking, whether it be about the duration of their shift. Can they swap shifts themselves through an online portal with a colleague, but the shift is still taken, but it suits them to swap that, and so they give them some level of autonomy? Can it be about looking at when are your peak times in a retail environment so that you can have people on split shifts? So we've had one client who has now started doing split shifts, which are in first thing in the morning and around lunchtime, but in between that time they don't work, and then again they come back online in the evening. And so again, it just depends what's needed, based on customer, based on the team, the company, the individual, and so on. So by including all of these things, you're really able to define what that flexibility could look like.
Fantastic. And, there are so many ways that companies are already doing flexibility and perhaps not recognising it as well. Do you find that it could be a greater emphasis on some of the things that are already happening and encouraging people to look at it as flexibility?
You know what? It's a really funny thing you should say that. So look, as an organisation, a lot of what we do is a technology platform connecting employees and candidates together with progressive employers. But we also help a lot of companies progress and embed flexible working day to day. And so one of the first things we talk about is, okay, so talk to us about what existing flexibility you've got right now. Like, oh, well, we don't. That's why we've engaged you. And I said, okay, well, let's have a chat about what that looks like. You know, if one of your team members came to you and said, oh, you know, my tooth's really hurting and it's killing me. I need to go to the dentist. The appointment's at 3:30. The manager will go, yeah, that's no worries. We'll see you tomorrow. The employee might go, I might log on later tonight or not. And they might just make up the hours another time. So that's what we call informal flexibility. And so that happens very regularly in many, many, many organisations. So that's a form of flexible working right there. We had another client who came to us and said, oh, we finish at 1 o'clock every Friday, but, you know, would that be counted as flexible working, but we're paying everyone working full time? And I was like, yeah, because you're doing a compressed work week. You still have expectations of output as if they were here 5 days, but you're paying them 4.5 days a week. That's flexible working. A lot of times our clients come to us thinking, oh, we're so behind the eight ball. We're not doing any of this flexibility stuff. Our competitors, we're looking in the marketplace. They're so far ahead of where we are. And you just dig a little bit and you can go, actually, you're not as behind as you think you are. Because again, their paradigm of flexibility is that it's just part-time.
Yes.
Just working from home and just for women with children. Yeah. But when you actually expand that and talk about flexibility in its entirety, people then go, oh. So the senior leadership teams are another great example. When I work and do workshops with them and I ask the question, okay, so how many of you, because often it's at an offsite, have flown here today? Everyone puts their hand up. Right. And so did you work on the way to the airport? Hands go up. Did you work at the airport? Hands go up. Did you work on the plane? Hands go up. And did you work on the way from the airport to here making calls, emails, whatever? Hands go up. I said, you've all worked flexibly. You're not at your desk. You're not working in specific hours. You're working how you need to in order to get the job done. And so what flexibility looks like for, let's say, a receptionist will be different to a senior executive, which is different to somebody working in the transport and logistics area.
Mm.
But you can still have flexible working even if it looks differently. So,
yeah
it's a really fascinating piece around that and highlighting to people going, you're doing a lot more than you realise, which is always a great story to have.
It is, and it helps people feel a lot more positive about it. But what you've just spoken about raises a few questions for me. The first one is, well, actually one that I'll probably get to a bit later is, it does get into every minute of your life when you work flexibly and there's an issue there for how to manage it on the extremes. But talking about working with organisations and, you know, you've given some great examples of how they're informally working flexibly or enabling flexible work. What is it that you're seeing that is the biggest catalyst for organisations looking to adopt a more formal policy or approach to flexibility?
So there's a number of reasons why organisations are doing it. First one is a lot more organisations are recognising that the marketplace is very tight, so there's not a lot of candidates out there. And the report came out in June of this year to say that the number one thing that people look for when they're looking for a new job, or the number one reason why they're leaving, is around flexibility, either leaving because they're not getting any or enough, or looking into wanting to apply to those that have a flexible culture, and not just a policy, but an actual culture. People are now choosing when they look at company A and company B and will ask at the, even at the screening stage, what's your flexibility like? Talent teams are getting bombarded with these kinds of questions. And so organisations are recognising that in order to attract and retain top talent, or even talent, flexibility is what everybody's looking for over and above salary. Because it gives them that work-life integration. It gives them an essence of just, I actually have an agency in and say in what's going on. So that would be the first one. So the talent and the attraction and retention piece. The second one is around actual profitability. There's a lot of research that shows that there is a direct correlation between having a culture, a flexible culture, creates innovation. It creates collaboration, innovation. It creates high levels of engagement, low levels of disengagement and absenteeism. And subsequently, people are going above and beyond constantly to achieve, and they're hitting targets and going beyond, and then profitability goes up. So, and of course, you know, that's what a lot of companies are looking for. So that's another one. A third component is, and I would say probably this is the biggest one, and the other two are sort of like massive drivers, is around the gender diversity conversation. So many organisations now recognise that in order to be a truly competitive organisation, you need to be diverse, particularly around gender, but in all aspects as well. And the number one thing that enables true gender diversity and brings equality into the picture is flexible working. Why is this? Because 3/4 of women aged between 25 and 45 have children. And in Australia anyway, and the rest of the world, women are still the primary caregivers. So when you look at part-time stats, that 67% of all part-timers are female. The main reason is that is because they need to look after children, drop them at school, pick them up, and have the flexibility that if they're sick, that if their partners aren't in a flexible workplace, that they can actually look after children. We see that time and time again. So the more full-time flexible work that we can offer, particularly to women, will increase workforce participation. But from an employer's perspective, gender diversity is a really huge component. And the last driver around flexible work and why organisations want to do it is the conversation around the future of work. So AI, automation, robotics. These are things that are changing even more so. So if we thought that the world of work has changed a lot in the last 10 to 20 years, what's this space? We're already seeing it in the banks. We're already seeing it in a lot of organisations where they're making mass redundancies and then rehiring lots of people in very tech STEM type environments. You need to be aware that the future of work is coming at us very, very quickly. So organisations are recognising, well, one of the key things in order to maintain a really great culture is flexible work. And so these are the kinds of other main drivers around what's making companies sit up and go, right, we don't want to become a Kodak and miss the digital revolution. We need to see the writing on the wall that this is something that is going to have to happen.
Yes, we know this is clearly on the radar for many of our member companies at NAWO. And through our knowledge share forums and observations, we also recognise that our companies are not always finding their way with the transition to a flexible work culture, and certainly identifying the barriers very easily to flexible work, such as concerns around productivity, team engagement, fairness and equity across functions, effective management of case-by-case application, and of course how to enable flexibility in a 24/7 shift operation. What are the key enablers for transitioning to an effective flexible work culture, and how do you overcome some of these concerns or, you know, perceived barriers to flexibility?
Okay, so there are a number. There's quite a few, but I'll kind of touch on the top ones and what are we doing to help organisations to do that.
Yeah.
So essentially when we're talking about creating a flexible culture, we're talking about really a cultural transformation. So firstly, this needs to come from the top. So this is not an HR initiative. It's not even a diversity initiative. It has to come from the CEO and the senior executive team who actually see this as an imperative. There needs to be clarity around why they're doing it. And it could be for one of those four reasons that I mentioned before. It can be all of them or one of them. There's no right or wrong. But the clarity around the why will drive the strategy and a really effective embedding and cultural shift. The other part of that is bringing managers along the journey. And managers are an absolute pivotal and catalyst, or even more importantly, a linchpin would be the best word to use here, for the success of embedding and normalising flexible work. Because they're the ones who are at the coalface, if you will. You've got your senior leadership team who've developed the strategy and said, okay, off you go, it needs to happen. You have employees going, woohoo, this is great, I can't wait to do this. And then you've got the managers in the middle, whether they be on the senior side or at the front line, who have to embed the guidelines, policies, whatever they get called, in the day-to-day. How do they have these conversations? How do I lead flexibly? How do I... myself as a manager, how do I lead a flexible team if people are working remotely in different offices and different front finish times? What does that mean for me? It can cause so much anxiety. So if we don't support, train, give clarity to these managers, most of them will just go, this is too hard, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I mean, one of the key things came out was managers really having concern about fairness and equity because of the there's no one size that fits all. How do you make sure that you're being fair and equitable amongst all your team members about what's going on?
That's right. Well, that's exactly it. So the fact of the matter is that trust is such an important component to all of this.
Yeah.
So creating a culture of trust, it's so much easier said than done, and I get that. But by creating a culture of trust, what that translates to is if you have a manager and you have a team who are working flexibly, the manager is the one who's trusting their team that even though they might not be able to see them, they know that they're doing their job. So in our team at Flex Careers, we work so super flexibly. About half my team are part-time. I don't know which days they're working. Mm. We have a core day. We have meetings on a certain day separate to that, so I know I can engage with them. But we use communication channels that I'll message them and they only just need to get back to me like a text. And if they're online, they'll go, yep, I can get that to you later today. Or they might ping back going, look, I'm not working today, but I'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'll get that to you. Is that okay? And so I usually then manage my expectations accordingly and I won't ping them going, oh my God, I need this yesterday. Unless there's an absolute massive emergency, but that doesn't really happen that often. We can coordinate and plan ourselves better.
Yeah, it certainly does take a more planned
effort from a managerial perspective, you do need to think ahead a bit more, which is not a bad thing, right? Because
that's right.
We should be all doing that anyway.
That's exactly right. So for us, I think we definitely know that it's very, very doable.
Yep.
And it's just something that needs to be done. So a couple of the other things that organizations need to do is particularly leaders, senior leaders, it's about role playing, that if you're anticipating your whole team to follow you, you yourself need to do that from the CEO down.
Yeah.
And storytelling, sharing that within the organization. How is flexibility happening? Because if you've got naysayers and people who are negative Nancy's and saying, no, not interested, this isn't for me, but they can see a team that's very similar to theirs actually doing it, they might go, oh, so this isn't so bad. It's actually something that's doable. Or giving people the ideas of, oh, I never even thought of compressing my work week or coming in later because I'm not a morning person and then staying on later at night. Mm. I never even thought that that was an option. So storytelling, and by nature as humans, we are incredibly social. We want to hear those stories so that we can learn as much as possible. Mm. So those would be the top tips. And with organizations, we've developed a program called Flex Ready to do exactly this, to carry them through from the very beginning of the convincing the senior leadership / board around why do we need to do this. So working and co-collaborating with organizations to get their why clear, through to developing strategy, training managers, training employees, training talent teams, HR business champions, you name it. So we've done all this work with so many organisations across Australia and New Zealand and even now overseas as well, because we're starting to get knocked on our door, which is amazing for a smallish company here in Australia going, hi, we're a global multinational. No one else in the world is running programs like yours. Could you please come and deliver this program globally for all our business?
And that's fantastic.
Yes, sure, we can do that. But no one else really is doing this. So it's really exciting, really exciting for us.
Fantastic space, and we absolutely see how that Flex Ready program can be hugely beneficial, particularly to, you know, many of our member companies. So I hope all of those that are listening can get onto your website and have a good look at what you offer, because I think it's sensational. It just helps with taking the next step forward that you need to take to make this happen.
Right.
And making it less scary too, right? Because it doesn't need to be a scary thing.
No, it doesn't, but it can be, because change is scary, particularly for managers who have to lead it, who aren't given enough information or support of themselves. Some people are open to change. Some people are doing it already, so it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
But then some people just are very stuck in the command and control way of working. They don't know any other way of doing it. There might be other triggers and motivations we need to become aware of. So it's about supporting everybody through the process. This is never an over-the-night thing at all.
Yeah. Interestingly, Natalie, one thing that I've observed, which is kind of ironic with people concerned about productivity, is that people who are working flexibly, definitely not working less. If anything, they're working too much.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on this, and how do we stop this becoming a contribution to stress at work? And, you know, if your devices never turn off and you never feel like you're switched off from work.
Yeah, look, it's a challenge, I tell you, especially in the age of smartphones and being able to connect into your emails and do work from anywhere. It has its benefits without a doubt. So when I travelled to Budapest to visit family in July, I don't have the luxury of ever totally switching off as the CEO of a technology company that runs 24/7, 365 days a year. But what I can say is I checked in every morning. I woke up, it was evening here in Australia, checked my emails to see if there was anything urgent. Checked on the tech, you know, channels, made sure everything was fine. There were a couple of things that came up, client things and tech things, and we got them sorted out. I spent more than an hour each day, if that, you know, and then that was it. I didn't need to do anything else, and I could very comfortably switch off, and I knew if there was a disaster, somebody would call me or text me and I would deal with it. And it didn't happen. So I limited that exposure. Now I have to do that, being CEO of the company, and that's my responsibility. That's what I signed up for, and I'm very cognizant of that. But then, for example, when I walk home, and I walk through the door and my children are there, my phone is in my bag, I do not answer it unless I know that I'm expecting some emergency disaster call that I need to deal with, which has happened only once in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, I don't do my emails in front of them. I spend time with them. I spend quality time. We do homework. We take the dog for a walk. We go play basketball. I'm there and I'm very present. Then they go to bed. I might do another quick hour, or maybe I don't. Maybe there's the self-care going, you know what, I've already done 10 hours of work today. I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
I actually need to sleep. And I make a point of not checking before I go to bed. And when I wake up, it's the very last or first thing. It might be close to on either side, just as a quick check-in, because we do have international things going on as well. So I do need to check in, but not as the last thing. So I might read or meditate on either side when I go to bed and or wake up. Or if my children are there, then there's, you know, they're usually in my face. So, you know, I try and focus and be in that moment. And it's about self-leadership and it's about discipline and about not letting it bleed too much, because it's too easy. I mean, if there is something on your smartphone that you can actually look at how many hours, unfortunately, it's usually hours, you spend on your phone on different apps, whether it be email, social media, texting or whatever. If you do take a look on it, it's really scary how much time you actually spend on it. So we need to be more disciplined. We need to be more focused. We can't just blame work going, oh, work always expects me to be online. Well, yes and no. We have some level of responsibility to push back. I think about managing expectations is important, and it needs to be focused on not how many hours you're doing or feeling guilty because you have the ability to work flexibly. Doesn't mean you need to work more. It's about working smarter and it's about output. Have you reached and achieved what you plan to do that day? Are you meeting your target? Isn't that more important than killing yourself for 12 hours a day instead of 8 or 10?
Yeah.
So we need to be more conscious and present when we're looking at how we're working in that flexible context.
That's really good advice for all of us who are working flexibly and for those of us who are starting to work flexibly. So thank you for that. And I guess finally, Natalie, for all of those people in our community who are keen to influence within their organisation and open up conversations with their executive teams perhaps about instilling a better culture around flexible work, what would be your key tip to them to say, you know, here's where to start with that conversation?
I'd look at your strategy. Look at why is this so important to your organisation? What's the pain points and how can flexibility solve that? Because selling flexibility for the sake of flexibility ain't going to cut it.
Yeah.
But if by bringing in flexible work means you're going to reduce absenteeism, increase diversity, being able to service your customers better because your customers don't necessarily engage with you just between 9 and 5. They might be engaging with you from 4 a.m. in the morning due to time differences until 10 o'clock at night. Are you expecting one team to be doing that the whole time? Or are there other ways that you can do this? Job sharing, split shifts, et cetera. So what is it that you're trying to solve? Be really clear on those problems and develop a really strong business case around that. So this isn't just a warm and fuzzy. Flexibility is also not just a benefit to be given to someone for doing a good job, or that you need to prove yourself and work for the company for 3 months before we give you flexible working. It is a way of working. It needs to be recognized, but a true business case and a robust business case linked to strategy, to bottom line, to engagement, to key metrics that your organization actually looks at is going to be a very compelling case to any senior leadership team or senior leader that you need to get their buy-in on why to do it. And a quick tip, when we're talking about it at that level, sure, we're talking about quite a formal process. If we're talking about maybe just as an individual engaging with your manager, the best tip I can say is just trial it. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah.
Here's how we could make it work. Let's give it a go for 2-3 months. Let's check in along the way, be clear on our communication strategy. And every month, have a check-in. What's working? What's not? What's not working? Let's fix that. Let's not just wait for 3 months and go, it was a disaster and we're never doing it again. Let's refine it, tweak it, make it work, find out what's happening, and then share that story.
That's fantastic. What a great tip, because what's the worst that can happen? You go back to doing what you did before if it doesn't work, right?
Well, that's it. And very rarely will flexibility completely not work, but it's a tweak. It's something that just needs to be refined, because this is such an early days thing. Flexibility is not widespread. It will be. The way I look at it is an analogy of the safety, like how safety in the resources and construction. Yeah.
Yep.
10, 15 years ago, when all the legislation changed, you would never have seen everyone with high vis and steel cap shoes and protective hair, you know, maybe hard hats, a goggle, like the whole bit, right? Now you go onto any construction site, you go to anywhere where there's that kind of work being done, and you just wear high vis, you just wear protective clothing. It's not even questioned. So if we can change that within our culture, why wouldn't we be able to change how we're working from a flexible perspective? So it's an analogy I tend to share, because most people kind of go, oh, that's true.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, working has had a huge impact on my family, and, you know, that means huge positives for everybody.
Yes, exactly. So
it is a fantastic analogy, Natalie, and I thank you very much for your time. There's the whole space around rostering and the 24/7 operations piece, but I'm hoping we might be able to explore that some more with you at a future time.
Yeah, look, happy to. Always happy to come back and have another chat.
Awesome. Thanks, Natalie, for doing the great work that you do.
Thank you so, so much.
So that was Natalie Goldman, the CEO of Flex Careers. If you would like more information on their Flex Ready program or any other service that Flex Careers provides, please go to their website, flexcareers.com.au. That's flexcareers.com.au. We hope you enjoyed the podcast today, and we certainly got a lot of learnings from it. We've compiled a one-pager of those key learnings. It's in the show notes with the podcast on our webpage. We very much look forward to the next conversation, and I hope that you will join us then. Until then, take care, and remember, we can't do everything, we can't do nothing, but we certainly can do something.
If this episode of the NAWO podcast hit the mark for you and you'd like to know more about NAWO and the work that we do, please head to www.nawo.org.au, click subscribe, and you'll be a member of the NAWO community. You can also follow us on our company page on LinkedIn. If you're enjoying the podcast, we encourage you to share widely. Thanks so much for listening and being part of the solution. Bye for now.